invite your attention to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 31. 31st chapter of Jeremiah. Sandra Marvin and I were united in holy matrimony on the 19th of May in the year of our Lord, 1975. We spent a few months of courtship prior to that time. And on a certain Lord's Day, during that time of courtship, she accompanied me to a preaching engagement. Neither of us, now 35 years later, remembers the occasion. We do not remember the venue. We do not remember anything we discussed on that day. But evidently, in our trip to that venue, I mentioned the text from which I was to preach that morning. Because when I opened my Bible to announce the text, I found a sliver of paper torn from a sheet on which someone had written, "I love you." So I announced my text and began to scan the congregation, hoping that I might ascertain who it was that wrote that note. For as much as I love myself, I've never written such a note to myself. And so while the congregation is looking for the text, I'm scanning the congregation, and there she is, beaming a smile from ear to ear, as though to say, "Yes, I wrote that note, and yes, I love you." I am not a romantic. I do not think I'm a sentimental old fool, but that note meant something to me. So I laminated it and returned it to my Bible, where it has remained now for 35 years. And has been daily looked at. I know that someone loved me 35 years ago because I have the proof in her own hand in my Bible. You may say, "Well now, Moose, that was 35 years ago and you're not the easiest person there is to live with." And we all know that if you know me very well. But Sandy came to visit me on St. Croix a few months ago, and I told her that I had misplaced the note and had done so just very recently, and that I could not find it. And within a very few moments, I had another one. "I love you." And the original was found in her Bible, which I had used on another occasion. But I have now for 35 years, on a daily basis, treasured that little piece of paper and that note. I consider myself greatly honored that the woman whom I admire most in this world loves me. But not only do I have a note in one place in my Bible to show a token of her love for me, but this book itself is a love note from the greatest lover I ever had. Now you may say, "Moose, it's not exactly a note, it's a tome, it's a big book. True, it is. But when my lover receives me in glory, and there I learn really and truly of his love for me, I'm going to realize this was only a note. And I know that everywhere I turn in this book, I find some token of his love for me. I find in one way or another, in this phrase or in those words, Jesus Christ saying, Moose Parks, I love you. I can agree with P.P. Bliss when he wrote, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I go to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and I read of my Lord creating heavens and the earth and making it here for my enjoyment, and I read that God loves me. I read in Genesis 2 of my Lord preparing a garden for my pleasure. A garden, though lost on this earth now, still reserved in glory for me. A garden which I shall enjoy in paradise. And when I read of that, I hear my Lord saying, I love you. I read of my rebellion against him in that garden when I sinned and fell in my father Adam. And yet despite my rebellion, I read God saying, I love you. For he has declared that the seed of the woman shall crush the head of my oppressor. And in crushing the head of my oppressor, Jesus Christ shouts in victory, I love you. And all the way through this book, in the books of history, I read God saying, I love you. In the Psalms, I read God saying, I love you. I go to the Song of Solomon and read the sweetest love story ever written. And I hear Christ saying to me, I love you. In the prophets, they foretell he will come saying, I love you. In the Gospels, Jesus Christ walks upon this earth and repeatedly declares, I love you. In the epistles, I read, he loves me. And in the last book of the Bible, he assures me one last time, he loves me. All the way through this book, I find this love note, I love you. My darling wife simply wrote a note in three words, I love you. But she did not in that note tell me why, nor how. But my Lord has. In his book, he has told me why he loves me, how he loves me, to what degree he loves me, for how long he loves me. And tonight, we're going to look at some of these. I have a message. It is 25 points. But we shall not keep you long, I promise. But very briefly, I want you to read these love notes from God declaring his love for his children. And the first one here is in the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 1. Observe what he says in verse number 3. Here we find that the Lord has loved me with eternal love. For the Lord hath appeared of old to me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Folks, that is eternal love. Everlasting love means it will last forever. But notice that not only is it everlasting, it is everlasting in the other direction as well. For he declares to me, I have loved you. What, did you love me yesterday? Well, yesterday I said at the game, I have loved you. And if I could go back to the very first day of creation, had I been there, he would have said, I have loved you. How do I know? Because the Lord hath appeared of old to me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. What is it to appear of old? In the prophecy of Micah chapter 5 verse 2, we read that the goings forth of our Savior have been from of old, from everlasting. My Lord loved me before the foundation of the world. He loves me now, and He'll love me when this world is over. What would be more devastating than to hear my lover say, Moose, I no longer love you. God said that to Ephraim. For their transgressions in Gilgal, there I hated them. I will drive them from my house. I will love you no more, Hosea 9:15. But to His elect, to His people, He declares, from eternity I love you. In time I love you. Throughout all eternity, I love you. My love is eternal. Furthermore, second, this love is effectual. In the very same verse, He says, therefore, because I love you, therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. This love is effectual. Satan, with evil intent, will draw you to himself in temptation to cause you to sin. Your enemy will draw you to himself in ambush, in conflict, in debate, with malice aforethought. But our Lord says, I drew you to myself in love. I know of no sweeter place in all the world than in the embrace of my beloved. If my beloved will but embrace me and hold me, what sweeter place is that? Only one. When Jesus Christ reaches down and takes hold of this sinner and draws me to himself and says, I love you this much. I draw you to myself. And it's effectual. That's what he does. Third, this love is preserving love. He says in Isaiah 43 verse 4, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Why? I am precious to him. Consider that. His children are precious to him. He says, I will honor you, and therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. What does that mean? It means that he will pass by others who are worse than I am. He will pass by others in order to give his love to me. He should have passed by me. There was nothing in me that deserved his stop, but he did. I will give men for you. I will pass by others because you're the one that's precious. I say to you, this love is preserving. You are precious, and for all eternity, I am precious to Him. Fourth, this love is beautifying and exalting in Ezekiel 16, 8 through 14. He says to His bride, when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Observe that He loved me so much, He covered my nakedness with Himself. Yes, I swore an oath to you, a vow of holy matrimony. I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine. I heard someone tonight say, introduced herself saying, I belong to such and such. That is so sweet. I belong to such and such. And her husband can say, she's mine. That means she doesn't belong to me. She belongs to him. The one who says, she's mine. And to the lady who says, I belong to him. The Lord says to his bride, you're mine. You belong to me. And I've thoroughly washed off your blood and anointed you with oil. Put a glow on your face. I clothed you in embroidered cloth. I gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put jewelry on you. Then he says you were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty because when you marry the king, you become the queen. And your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty. Listen, for your beauty was perfect through my splendor, which I bestowed on you. He made me beautiful. On the day that I married Sandra Marvin, on the day before, I thought she was the most beautiful creature I'd ever seen. But on that wedding day, when she walked down that aisle, I was surprised. I didn't know she was so good looking. And she had made herself so beautiful, but I had nothing to do with it. When the Lord's wife is beautiful, he says, I did it. I did it. You are perfect through my splendor. If Jesus Christ loves you, you will be beautiful to him because he will make it so. Fifth, this love is Christ-giving love in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Only begotten Son. I have an only begotten son. Have an only begotten daughter. Please take no offense when I say it. I love you folks, but I don't love any of you enough to give my son for you. And if you're honest, you won't give yours for me. You don't love me that much, and I don't love you that much. That's being fair and honest with you, is it not? Only one person ever loved me enough to give his only begotten son. And this is a love that I do not understand. I have two children. I'll give neither of them for anybody. He gave his only begotten son. And notice this. He doesn't say, I suggested my son. He doesn't say, I recommended my son. He does not even say, I offered my son. Rather, he says, I gave him. And I say to you, nothing is given until it is received. God will not offer his son to lost humanity in the hope that one of us somewhere, or maybe two or three of us, will accept him. He doesn't do that. God says, I'll give him, and you will receive him. Who will receive him? Whoever believes in him. Now, these are the world that God loves. That world that God loves so much are these who show themselves to be the objects of his love by believing in his son through this Christ-giving love. Sixth, this is unsurpassed love in John 15:13. Jesus says, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. I love my country. Today is July 4th. We're showing patriotism. And I love my country. I love my country so much that I gave 4 years of my life to defense of my country. Now, granted, I would not have done it had I not been drafted. But having been drafted, I did not flee to some other place, like a lot of others did in the 60s. But I love my country. And having gone in, I was willing to lay my life. But I most certainly hope I didn't have to. I did not volunteer my life, but Christ volunteered His. He loved me that much. No one ever loved me so much as to say, I lay down my life. For whom? For my friends. I want to be His friend. I want to know that He loves me. Who are His friends? You are my friends if you keep my commandments. So therefore, if you keep His commandments, you will hear Him tell you, I love you. And what is His commandment? Believe in me. Trust in me. Number 7, this is Christ-worthy love. In John 17, 23 and 24, Jesus prayed to His Father that the world may know that You have loved them as You have loved Me. Now remember, God loves His only begotten Son more than anything in this universe. He loves His only begotten Son. But Jesus, the only begotten Son, says, Father, let them know that You love them like You love Me. Hey, you mean God's going to love me like He loves His only begotten? That's right. Then Jesus says this, You loved Me before the foundation of the world. Now what does that mean? Jesus Christ, the divine wisdom in Proverbs 8 says that I was with the Father before the world began. And then He says, and I was daily His delight. Before the world was brought into existence, Jesus says, I was daily His delight. Then He says, Father, show them that You love them like You loved Me, and You loved Me before the foundation of the world. You know what that means? Before time began, before the world was created, I was daily God's delight. I don't know how it was, but I know it's true. Because God entered into a covenant with me before the foundation of the world. And He loved me. And He delighted in His elect before time began. Because He loves me like He loves His only begotten Son. And then this is demonstrated love in Romans 5:8. Because God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. A demonstrated love. Now listen, God demonstrated His love by sending Christ to die for sinners. But let me suggest to you that it goes further than that. God demonstrated His love by assuming my humanity, and God died for me. When Christ gave His life for me. The songwriter has it correct when he says, Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. The apostle has it right when he says, You were purchased with the precious blood of God. And there's a demonstration of love from God in that God assumed my humanity and died for me. This is demonstrated love. This is inseparable love in Romans 8:35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. We are convinced that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Some people may say, well, you know, I believe you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. Well, when you say that, what you're saying is this. God doesn't love me. That's what you're saying. You may tell everybody God loves everybody. You may say so. But if you say that one may be saved today and lost tomorrow, You're saying God doesn't love me because nothing can separate from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is inseparable. Number 10, this is conquering love in Romans 8, 36 and 37. As it is written in Psalm 44, 22, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. My life is full of trouble. Most of it self-inflicted. Toil, pain, and sorrow. It is an everyday thing. But if God loves me, I will beat it every time. We are more than conquerors. I delight in seeing new converts. You know what makes me happier than a new convert? An old one. Silver-haired folks. Some here tonight. And you've fought many battles and you've got the scars and the fatigue to prove it. Have you conquered? Evidently, if you did, you want to know why? God is saying, I love you. I love you. This is self-giving love in Galatians 2:20. The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. Now listen, this is Christ-giving love because the Father loved me enough to give His Son. But the Son gave Himself for me voluntarily as well. This is self-giving love. This is electing love in Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 because the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Someone may say, well, preacher, I don't really care much for that doctrine of election. Well, what you're saying is, you don't want to stand before God in love. What you're saying is, you don't want God to love you. Because when God chose a people, it was so that they would stand before Him and see His love. Now do you see why we love this doctrine so much? This is unmerited love in Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Unmerited. Unmerited. I didn't earn it. It's free love. It means without a reason. God loved me because I did not deserve it. God loved me with an unmerited love. Would you like to know why I love her? Would you like to know why I fell in love with her? I'll tell you the reasons. Number one, she's lovable. And I found her attractive. And she's loving. And attractive. And she's lovely. And did I mention she's attractive? Now you may say, Moose, those are carnal reasons for falling in love. Well, when I fell in love with her, I was a very carnal man. And I assume I'm not the only honest one in this building this night. I loved her because I thought she earned it. I looked at her and said, she deserves my love. I have never heard anyone say, I love her because she's the most unlovely person I ever saw in my life. No one except God. God loved her because she's unlovable, unloving, unlovely, and He did not find her attractive. And the same is true of all of us. None of us merited this love. God loved us because He wanted to, and not because we earned it. This is sacrificial love in Ephesians 5:2. Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now listen, sacrificial love. From the dawn of creation, sacrifices had been made to show the love of God. For 1,500 years, the Lord required sacrifices under the old covenant. And it went on and on and on and on until one day Christ came down and He said, I love you so much, I'm bringing an end to all these sacrifices. And now I am the sacrifice. He gave Himself and brought an end to all those sacrifices. You want to see how much He loves me? Look at the sacrifice. It brought an end to all the ones preceding it. He loves me that much to say to me, bring me no more lambs, no more rams, no more bullocks. I'm your sacrifice. This is perfecting love in Ephesians 5:25 through 27. Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The world despises us, and the Lord says to me, you're perfect. Lord, how can I be perfect? I made you that way. Why'd you make me perfect? I love you that much. Number 16, this is consoling love in 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Consoling love. Some of you will leave the house in the morning, and it's going to be Monday, and you're going to have a rough day, and this is going to go wrong, and that's going to go wrong. Happens to me. But if I can come home and my lover would hold me in her arm and tell me, forget it, you're home now, I'm consoled. It's all forgotten. And Jesus Christ does that. Draws me to His bosom. And He says, you know what? I love you. I love you enough that I saved you. I justified you. I sanctified you. I have already glorified you. Nothing consoles me any more than when my lover tells me He's done all that for me. Number 17, this is correcting love in Hebrews 12:6. Because whom the Lord loves, He chastens. I've seen little children in grocery stores and supermarkets and hardware stores, just all kinds of places, little children, crying at the top of their lungs. And their mother tries to ignore them. And I know she can't because she's closer than I am and it annoys me. And they just go on and on, you know, and the mother just walks in like, you know, like she doesn't hear. I know good and well she doesn't hear, like that she does hear. And I look at the little child and I say, you poor little child, your mother does not love you. Because if she did, she wouldn't let you act like that. My father loved me and he didn't let me act that way. Because He corrected me. And He chastened me. Why didn't my father do that? Because he loved me. The poor child who's never corrected is lacking in love from his parents, and God the Father chastens his children. And I've got evidence of it in myself. But he loves me. If you can live in sin and shame and the Lord never corrects you, be very concerned, for the Lord chastens whom he loves. Number 18, this is adopting love in 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Met a couple recently. They had, I think, 2 children biologically. I have 2 children biologically. Sandra and I do. And I know, oh, I love them. I love them so much. I mean, you know, they're mine. I mean, it's myself and herself and our children. And you love them. This couple then went halfway around the world and adopted the little girl from another nation, from another culture, from another race. And I'm thinking, what uncommon love is that? I mean, I have never adopted. That is a love that I don't think I know. It's beyond me. It is uncommon love. Not only that, this same couple now is going back to the same place and going to adopt a second one. What uncommon love is that? I mean, it is, we understand a common love for your own flesh and blood, but to adopt someone else's children who are totally different from you. What uncommon love is adopting love? Well, that's my Father's love. He adopted me. I was a child of wrath by nature. And he said, you're mine. I bought you and I adopted you. I love you that much. This is proven love in 1 John 3:16. Proven love. Young lady may say to her beau, how much do you love me? And he will reply, as we men are prone to do, I love you so much I'd swim the deepest ocean. I'd climb the highest mountain. I'd cross the hottest, widest desert in bare feet. I love you so much. And both he and she know he's lying through his teeth. But be very concerned if you've been married for 35 years and your wife says, do you love me enough to die for me? Because she might want proof. Jesus Christ loved me that much. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for me. His own life. Laid it down for me. Listen, folks, no one ever loved me that much but him. Number 20, this is manifested love in 1 John 4:9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Manifested love. You want to know what manifested means? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, we read that Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. You know what that means? It doesn't mean God's love began when I saw it. Only that that love which God had from before the foundation of the world and was foreordained, he now has turned the light on so that I may see it. This is manifested love. Number 21, this is propitiating love in 1 John 4:10. For in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. A propitiation is something that appeases God's wrath. Why would God show wrath to anyone? Because of sin. Our sin. It's odious to Him. He despises it. He is of too holy in His eyes to even look upon it. He will not come to me as long as that sin of mine is there before Him. So Christ comes down and covers my sin with Himself. He is the propitiation for my sins, has covered my sin like the blood that covered that mercy seat and made a propitiation. Propitiating love, appeasing God's wrath, and reciprocating love in 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. I suppose most young people know all the discouragement of unrequited love. I love Him so much, but I just can't get Him to love me. And I love her so much, but I just can't get her to love me. Well, God does not have that problem. He came to me and He said, "Moose Parks, I love you." Or He asked me, He said, "Do you love me?" And I said, "No, I don't love you. I don't love you." And then God says, "Well, I love you. And here's the proof." And He showed me all these things I've been showing to you. And I saw this love of God that was manifested to me. And I said, "Oh my God, I can't help it. I love you." When God shows He loves you, you'll have to love Him in return. You'll have to. You'll have to. This is cleansing love in Revelation 1:5, because Jesus Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Washed our sins in His own blood. Washed away our blood with His own. This is number 24, vindicating love in Revelation 3:9. He says, "Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you." Listen, folks, and you're well aware of it. You know the gospel you preach, have preached in this pulpit, it's hated. Religion despises us who love this gospel and preach this gospel and will not compromise it. They despise us. And the Lord said, "Go ahead and let them do it. But one of these days, I'm going to make them come and worship before you, and I'm going to show them who I love. I love those who love me. And I'll vindicate your love for me by proving it to your enemies." And 25th, this is curse confounding love in Deuteronomy 23, verse 5. So we go to the book of Revelation. Now we're going to go back to the Pentateuch, the first books of the Bible. And here's what God says. "The Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you." The curse has been turned into a blessing. He has done it. He has turned the curse into a blessing. The curse that I inherited through my fall in Adam. But think about this. In Adam, I lost everything. In Christ, I got back infinitely more. My curse has been turned into a blessing. Why? God says, "Because I love you. I love you. Let the world curse me. He'll turn it into a blessing." So I want you to see, my friend, that everywhere I look in God's Word, there He is, smiling sweetly at me and saying, "I love you. I love you." And since He has loved me from eternity past, and will love me throughout eternity to come, and since He is immutable, His love is in Him, it is immutable. I'll say to my wife, "I love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. And one of these days, I expect her to say, well, how come you don't love me today as much as you're going to love me tomorrow? How come I have to wait? And, you know, when we say, well, my love gets more and more every day. God's love does not get more and more every day. It is as immutable as He is. I love you. He will love me throughout eternity as much as He did before the foundation of the world. So I ask you, does God love you? Does He love you? He doesn't love everybody. He says there are some I hate. Does He love you? I'll tell you this. If you love Him, He does. If you truly love God, He loves you. That's the proof of it. By this we know love. But oh my friend, I would be remiss if I did not tell you this. If you refuse this gospel I preach and disbelieve in Christ, God hates you. You can read it in Psalms 5, 7, and 11. I'm not going there tonight. You may go there if you wish. I want to be one of those to whom God sends these tokens of love and says, I love you. I love you. Does He love you?